Tesvamanov, three lines from the bottom, Tznan Hasam. Okay. We learned over there, Tznan, we learned in the Mishnah. Hakol Ksherim Likros Hes Megillah, Chus Mecherishot V'Katan. So, anyone can read the Megillah except for these exceptions. Cherish, which is what we talked about last time, which we're going to speak about again. Shota and a katan. Okay. Rabbi Huda Masher Bakatan. Rabbi Huda, for some reason, said that a katan is allowed to read the Megillah. Okay. So, based on these words, it says everyone's allowed to except for the Cheresh. So, Mantana, who is the author of this Mishnah, that it sounds like Cheresh Dieved Namilo, that even Bidieved, we do not allow the Cheresh, this deaf person, to read the Megillah. That's what it sounds like. It just says, everyone can read it except for the Cheresh, which means it sounds like he can never do it. Doesn't matter what Chachil, not even B'diavad, he can't. So who is the author of this Mishnah? So Rav Masna, Rav Yossi. Rav Masna says it's Rav Yossi. Who's Rav Yossi? Ditnan, we learned in our Mishnah, HaKorea Shema, Vo Hishmil Ozno Yatza, Divrei Rabbi Huda, and we talked about this last week. It doesn't really say the words Divrei Rabbi Huda in our Mishnah.
Right, but there's a difference though.
Yes.
Because Megillah is not the Oraisa. Shema is the Oraisa. How can you compare the two?
Right. Because we talked about that with regard to Truma.
And we say Megillah, we're definitely referring to Megillah. So that's the Oraisa, Megillah.
If you look on the side where we started, on the three lines from the bottom, on the right of it, which has the Mesoras Hashas, it says Megillah Daf Yud Tesvamid Beis. You see that? Do you have that in your Gemara?
Yeah.
So that kind of helps. I mean, even that Masechet Megillah talks about the other Megillahs as well, but that's what it's referring to. So, but Rabbi Yehuda says that if you don't hear the Shema, if you say it, you don't hear the words that are coming out of your mouth, you're Yotze.
But it's also Mashmah that Shotek could read it also.
Why? I mean, according to this reading, we're saying that this Mishnah holds chutz mecher shel v'katan.
Yeah, but then we said, right, however, but if you look back, this is mantan cheresh divrei namu, it's not the whole of the Yosef is not valid.
Right.
That means that maybe a cheresh would be.
It's...
Shoteh would be.
Well, if you look, when it comes to this Mishnah, we couple all three together, the Cheresh, Shota, and the Katan, right?
But we're not. We single out the Katan and say the Katan is good.
Ah, according to Rabbi Huda, for some reason, does single out the Katan, for whatever reason. And we'll get to what exactly he's talking about. But he, apparently, even Rabbi Huda agrees, when it comes to the first two cases of the Cheresh and the Shota, that they cannot read. The whole question is maybe by a katan we're lenient, but not by the cheresh and the shota. Okay, so the question again is, we're going to see that maybe this is not the correct reading of this Mishnah, but on the surface it sounds like that even bidieved, a person who is a cheresh, cannot read the Megillah because of this deficiency that he can't hear. So it sounds like even bidieved, do not do it. Now, who is this like? If you have to pick in our Mishnah, who would this be like? So, right now we think it must be Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yehuda says, if you don't hear the words that come out of your mouth to hear the Shema, Rabbi Yehuda says, it's not a problem. You fulfilled your obligation.
Right.
So that doesn't sound like Rabbi Yehuda would agree that he would almost... It sounds like Rabbi Yehuda would allow the Cheresh, which again, we're going to end up getting all confused because... Obviously, the first words cannot be Rabbi Yehuda, because the second part of the Mishnah said, Rabbi Yehuda machshir b'katan, which the Gemara is going to pick up on that point. But that is another reason why the first part of the Mishnah, which says, Hakol ksherim likros as a Megillah chutz mecher shel v'katan, certainly that sentence cannot be Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rabbi Huda disagrees with it and says that a katan is allowed to read the Megillah. But we're not even going there yet. We're saying it cannot be like Rabbi Huda because Rabbi Huda says if you can't hear something, it doesn't matter. You still fulfill the mitzvah of the Shema.
Right.
So if you just fulfill the mitzvah of the Shema, you'd also
fulfill the Megillah.
Exactly. So therefore, it must be like Rabbi Yossi. Who's Rabbi Yossi? Because Rabbi Yossi Omer, lo yatza. So therefore, it makes sense. Just like you're not Yotze, even Bidieved, nothing. Hearing the Shema, so too not hearing the Megillah, you're not Yotze. So therefore, the author of that Mishnah, Megillah, must be like Rabbi Yossi. All right, so that's that. All right. Now, we could get there's an interesting Tosis over here. Let's see it. Let's maybe make matters more confusing, but that's all right. Let's try it. It's the last Tosis. Yeah. So Yehuda Machshir Bekata. Okay, so up until this point, right now we think that this Mishnah is the first half of this Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yehuda is lenient. He allows a katan to read in the Megillah. So this Tosis is really at this point, because we'll see that Gemara is going to discuss this idea later. The Imtom, if you want, you can ask, Be'ezah katan Mayri. When Rabbi Yehuda says a katan is allowed to read the Megillah,
What does he mean by a katan?
Yeah, what does that mean? Right, it could be a 12-year-old,
right,
could be a 2-year-old.
Right, exactly.
So, katan, shelo hagil chinuch, he doesn't really define what age this is, but if you have a child that has not yet reached the age of chinuch, of being able to be educated, ha'amrinan beperik ro'o based, and we learned in Masechtas Rosh Hashanah, shekol she'enu mechuyim b'davar, enu motzei esaravim. Which we learned this regard to shofar, that if you are not obligated to be'etzim to blow shofar,
then you can't be yotzei
to someone else who is obligated. So it's the same thing. If this katan has not even reached the age of chinuch, so then he has no obligation to hear the Megillah.
So then he can't be yotzei anymore.
Right. So my time with Rabbi Yehuda the Machshir. So then why would Rabbi Yehuda say it's
okay?
Right. And therefore, if you want, must be the other way. Must be behagil chinuch. This child is
eleven, twelve.
So that's true. My tamayi the rabbanon, the asri. Why would the rabbanon not allow? After all, hari kriyas megillah the rabbanon. This is what you're talking about, right? Megillah is the rabbanon. Yamrinan katan shehagil chinuch min rabbanon. We know that the whole idea, a child before they hit 13, the mitzvah chinuch is a mitzvah d'rabbanan, kigodol. Therefore, they have an obligation to fulfill the Torah based on d'rabbanan. The rabbanan require it based on chinuch. So therefore, it would make sense, upatar d'rabbanan. They should be obligated to fulfill the mitzvah of saying the Shema, the Megillah, based on chinuch. And therefore, since the reading of the Megillah in itself is the Rabbanon, so what's the problem? Why can't they read the Megillah? Kinamrinan l'kaman b'perek mishmeso. We'll see in the third parak, in this Masechta, the katan motzi aviv shelo ochel el kazayis ahayna de Rabbanon. We say that when it comes to bread, if a father only ate a small amount, and he didn't want a bench, because it wasn't the chalt of the savata, so his obligation to bench was only rabbinic, because the Torah only requires you to bench when it's
chalt of the savata.
Right. And he has a child who ate a huge meal, so he has to bench, and he also has a mitzvah d'rabbanan to bench because of chinuch. The Gemara says there that we allow this child
to yotzei his father.
Exactly. So the question is, so why do we say any different when it comes to a child reading the Megillah on behalf of someone else? After all, the child's obligated midrabanan, and they're reading the Megillah is midrabanan. So why can't this child read the Megillah on behalf of someone else?
Maybe he's not obligated to read the Megillah midrabanan. The benching is a different thing.
Why?
Because it's the chaf of the Sabbat. So therefore, since they're reading the Torah, it's the rabbanan. Okay.
Very good. That's basically the idea. We're going to see that's the basic difference. That's how Tosis answers it, this is an interesting idea. It's brought down by other halachas as well. The Eish Lomar, this is basically what you said, Shani Berachas HaMazon. It's different when it comes to, first, this is one answer, which is a sidebar. Shani Berachas HaMazon, benching is different. Shehi Chumri Yitzerta, Yosem Ederaisa. When it comes to benching, we're even more strict than any other Torah, than other Torah laws. Rebekal niftari mimena, and therefore, even for the most lenient reason, we're going to allow him to pater to make someone else fulfill their obligation. why are we so strict when it comes to benching? Can Amrina come on? The Gemara over there says that the Malachim asked Hashem, he said, Hashem, you never show any favoritism. So how can you show favoritism to the Jewish people? It's a very difficult Gemara, but the basic answer is that the Gemaras are outside, or in the shul.
He seems to be in a hurry to get me out of there.
So the Gemara over there says that how can I help it? Because they're so strict in benching, even if all they ate was a zayas or a beya. So therefore we see that's benching is actually the schus of benching is how Hashem shows favor toward us, which is anyway, so that's one answer. That benching, you can't learn any proofs from benching. Inami, or this is what you're talking about. Hasam leka b'katan el chad rabana. Over there, when it came to the benching, this child only had one derabana. The Meiri, because over there it's talking shakatan ochel kadei sviya. The kid ate a huge meal. He was satiated, so he had the Torah obligation. Technically, there's a Torah obligation to bench, except for the fact that he's a katan. So therefore, it's derabanan, one derabanan, right? So his derabanan, lakach asi derabanan umosi derabanan. His derabanan, because he's a kid, he's able to take that one derabanan and go against the other derabanan, which is his father, who's an adult. But the father's obligation to bench, because he ate a small meal, was only rabbinic. So one derabanan can cancel out another derabanan. However, abul hacha over here. The Gambi Katan, when it comes to this child with regard reading the Megillah, he could tarti Durabana. Why? The Megillah Durabana. The reading of the Megillah in itself is one Rabana. But Katan Durabana, the fact that the child. That's two. Eno Yochel Hotzi Hechadalek Elacha Durabana. Two Durabanans cannot motzi one Durabana. It's an interesting idea. But that's what Tosa says.
That two rights don't make a wrong.
I guess something along those lines. Yeah, so therefore, the way Tosa explains that really this whole Mishnah, three lines in the bottom of Tesla Vavman Aleph, is talking about where the child has reached the age of Chinuch. And Rabbi Huda says, let's forget about Rabbi Huda for a second. The Tanakhama, which we're going to establish, is Rav Yossi, says that the Katan cannot do it. The question is, why can't the Katan do it? It's because he holds, even though the Megillah is the Rabbanan, but the kid is also the Rabbanan. That's two. So that kid, which has two Rabbanans against him, two strikes against him, cannot motzi an adult, even though the adult is also, the Megillah is only a missing Rabbanan, but that's only one, two against one. Rav Yehuda Machshir B'Katan, Tosus doesn't say this, but I think what Tosus is saying is the second part of that Mishnah, the second line from the bottom, is Rabbi Huda says it's not a problem, because since Megillah is the Rabbanan, and the Katan is the Rabbanan, so it doesn't make a difference, so he's allowed to be Motzi. The child has two, and the adult has one, so what, they're all the Rabbanan. So what's the difference, one Rabbanan, two Rabbanan? That's probably the Machlok, is how Tosus would learn it. Okay, but nonetheless, we're up to the point, now we're in the very last line on Tesvav of Aleph. We saw two whole lines so far in the Gemara, that we are establishing this statement of this Mishnah Megillah, it's according to the opinion of Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi who said that just like when it comes to the Shema, if you don't hear what you're saying, our Mishnah said, according to Rav Yossi, Lo Yotza, which right now we're establishing means even b'di'evid, you have not fulfilled your obligation, you never fulfill your obligation. And therefore, so too a cheresh cannot read the Megillah on behalf of someone else, because they themselves cannot hear it. Which means even b'di'evid. Okay. So now we're going to go back and forth and back and forth like we did last time. Memai, second, the last line from the bottom. Memai, the Rav Yosihi, how do we know that this Mishnah, is necessarily talking, is like the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, b'di'eved nami lo, and that the Mishnah Megillah is talking that even b'di'eved, you're not allowed to read the Megillah to fulfill the obligation of someone else because you're a cherish. How do you know that's what the Mishnah means when the Mishnah says, ha'kok she'em likros es Megillah chutz mecherish shod v'katav? Perhaps, as we turn to Amud Beis, dilma Rabbi Yehudahi, maybe the first half of the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. And ulchat chila hu dalo, adiyevet shabradami. Maybe only ulchat chila. You're not supposed to have the cheresh read, but if he did, shabradami, he fulfilled his obligation.
But Rabbi Yehuda doesn't say that. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't equivocate and say b'diyevet ulchat chila. Just stop paskin. Yes, you can.
Right. So therefore, that's why if we looked at the Mishnah, the first word of our Mishnah on the previous on the Amud is HaKoyres Shema, which means not that he didn't do it, he wants to ask, can I say the Shema without hearing? He did it already, which means it sounds like B'di'eved. B'di'eved, Rabbi Yehuda would say you're Yotze, you fulfilled your obligation. L'chadchila, don't do it. So that's one possible, that's how, at this point, the Gemara has to read, is trying to read into our Mishnah. And therefore, what's the benefit? The benefit of it is that maybe the first half of the Mishnah Megillah of HaKol Kshem Likros Es Megillah is really like Rabbi Yehuda. And when it says that he should not read, the Cher should not read the Megillah, it just means L'chadchila. B'di'eved Shabradami.
Yossi says even B'di'eved is no good.
Right. So, exactly. So, and but we don't necessarily have to force ourselves to say it's like him. Simura says, Lo salcha daitach. Don't think such a thing. Second line from the top. Why shouldn't I think that that's the correct reading? Diktani, this is what we talked about a moment before, cheresh dumi de shot v'katan. The fact that you have cheresh, shot v'katan written together in this Mishnah,
that all applies to the same thing.
Right, so all the everything that applies to one
applies to the other.
Should apply to the other. Ma shot v'katan. Just like when it comes to the shota, it's the simpler one because katan is a machlokas. Shota katan dievid namilo, someone who is crazy, right? Is what shota is what insane?
Shota is insane, right?
Insane,
deranged.
So he can't read the Megillah for someone else. So therefore, even b'di'eved, of course not. So it must be since cheresh is put together with the shota v'katan, av cheresh d'yeved namilo.
So then it must be Rabbi Yossi.
Exactly. So Gemara says, what are you talking about? V'dilma ha'kadisa and ha'kadisa. How can you say this? Just because you have cheresh shota v'katan written right next to each other, that doesn't mean all the laws are exactly the same. This one is to be learned on its own, and this one's to be learned on its own. Cheresh shota v'katan are three different human beings, three different people, and therefore have different laws and different halachas. So just because they're put together does not mean necessarily we can derive such a conclusion. That just like shota and katan, even b'di'eved, know that so too by cheresh. Maybe cheresh is different. Maybe when it comes to a cheresh, we say that the only time a cheresh, someone who's deaf, cannot read the Megillah, is only l'chadchila. But maybe b'di'eved it's okay, and therefore we can again say that this Mishnah is like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Now the problem before we continue, which is going to be the next words of the Gemara, we go back to where we began, three lines from the bottom. Let's read this Mishnah one more time.
Can I ask one question?
Yeah.
You're interpreting, translating Shota.
Yes.
As insane.
Deranged.
I've been deranged. Think that Shota is more incompetent. And if that's the case, incompetent,
yes,
then that raises another question. And that is, what about the situation which, nowadays we don't have too much of, but, a century ago, there were many people were trained to be a Baal Torah, this and that, didn't speak Hebrew.
Right.
They knew how to read it, but didn't know what they were reading.
Right.
So essentially, they would be the same as Shota when they're reading it. And when they're reading it, they can pronounce the words, but they're relying on what they were told the words mean. They're really not.
In that case, you're calling a lot of people crazy around here, you know?
No. That's another story, but I immediately said that before that, I prefaced that by saying that Shota would be incompetent rather than crazy.
Right. I'm not sure if that's the...
Very low IQ. It was take place. I mean, an IQ one to 70 or something like that.
You're saying the shunt is stupid.
Well, how is the transit deranged?
Deranged.
Yeah, okay. I mean, IQ under 70 would be called stupid, but Shota, usually we use Shota to mean a fool. I would think that that would sit more with, I don't know, maybe there's someplace else that we can put up the word Shota and see what it means, but I would think Shota means somebody who's incompetent.
I'm
you call somebody a Shota, you're not calling him crazy, you're calling him
I mentioned over Shabbos in my Perkei Avos class that the Gemara Chagiga asked the question, how do we define what is a Shota?
Right.
And the Gemara gives different interpretations. For example, someone who sleeps in a cemetery, or what's the other one? A person tears his garments.
So that's
and
the deranged person. It's not a person with a low IQ.
Yeah, that's true. That's
the Gemara Paskins, it's a person that everything you give to them, they lose. Right, anything that you give them, they can't hold on to. They can't be a shomer to anything.
So a shota would be somebody who shows a shtut.
Right. Ruach shtus, as we say, right? A person that does an avera, they're overtaken by this ruach shtus.
So I'm going to say, share with all my amishtaka, which makes them none of us know what
true.
Except that premise, that's a very good, you know, it's not guilty by reason of
sense.
Well, if we realize
that... Talk about that thing is an error, but if you look at Mishagas, it's craziness, you know.
Yeah, but the thing is, if you say Kilo Koko to Ham Mishagas, I think it's easier to use that as some sort of absolution on the basis that we, you know, we didn't know what we're doing in Chicago.
Shogeg,
you mean that somebody knew and they just made a mistake.
I mean, that's a shayla to its own. How could we say on Kol Nidre Kiyachol Amishkaga? Some people do things with the most evil intentions. The question is that you don't really. It's not really.
That meshes 100% with Kofim Bo Aisha Yirtzeh.
Right, exactly. Right.
It fits with that.
Right, absolutely.
That's not so far out.
Right. That's the case, that's for sure. That's probably the right way to look at it. So, but. Deranged.
The young lady is here. She's not deranged.
Yeah. Deranged. So, again, it's impossible, as we're going to see, that this is like Rabbi Yehuda. We're right now we're thinking it could be that when the Mishnah says a kol kasherim likro says a Megillah chutz mecheres shot v'katan, that might be Rabbi Yehuda making that statement. When Rabbi Yehuda says that it can be done, it's only b'di'evet. L'chadchili shouldn't do it, but b'di'evet it's okay, which is what he says in our Mishnah. We're maybe reading our Mishnah. Hakoreh Shema, you read it that way, you didn't hear it, you should have, you did it, you're Yotze. So therefore, maybe this part of the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. So the problem is, if we look, the Gemara is going to ask this right now, but if you look at just the words of the Mishnah, if the first part of the Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda, that kol kasherim likros is Megillah chutz v'cheresh, then everyone can read the Megillah except for the cheresh, which means that l'chadchila he should not read, but b'di'evet is okay, right? But then that's Rabbi Yehuda. But then the next part of the Mishnah says what? Rabbi Yehuda machshir b'kata. The second half of the Mishnah says
it can't be because we made them all one thing.
Right. Right. How could it be? Rabbi Yehuda's disagreeing
with himself.
Right. That's that would make himself a shota, which he would probably want to do. That's what the Gemara is going to ask right now. Umi matzis l'ukma k'Rabbi Yehuda. How can you possibly establish it like Rabbi Yehuda? But we saw in the Seifa, the latter part of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda, machshir b'kata. Doesn't even matter what the Mishnah, that those words mean. But the two key words are Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's name is mentioned at the second half of the Mishnah. Mechlal, so we can infer, must be the racial of Rabbi Yehuda. Obviously, we can infer the first part of the Mishnah is not Rabbi Yehuda. Because how could we have a blanket opinion of the Tanakhama? Then we have Rabbi Yehuda. How could the Tanakhama be Rabbi Yehuda? It's impossible. Maybe not. What do you mean? Padilma Kula Rabbi Yehudahi. Maybe this entire Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. Betray Gavni Katan. This is kind of like the Tosas that we talked about. That's why I want to see the Tosas first. There's two types of Katan. We're going to see what those are. Before Chinuch.
And after
Chinuch. Right. The Chasuri words are missing in the Mishnah, and this is the proper way of reading the Mishnah. Hakol Ksherin Likros HaSemegillah Chutz Mishcher Shot V'Katan. That's what that acronym is. That everyone's allowed to read the Megillah, except L'Chadchila, we do not want a Cheresh to read the Megillah. Or Shota, or Katan. B'med Devor Mamorim, when are these words said? B'Katan Shol Gil Chinuch. We do not want a child, L'Chadchila, who has not yet reached the age of Chinuch, to read the Megillah. B'Katan Shol Gil Chinuch, but when it comes to a child that can, who is old enough, he's 11, Afil Chadchila Kosher de Rabbi Yehuda. Sherbi Yehuda Masher Bekatan. So therefore it's really
why
one.
Why does it say Yechutz and Cheresh, Shota, and Katan Dali before Chinuch?
That means. So it's a problem, but.
Because who you're going to compare a Cheresh and a Shota to a Katan before Chinuch?
Right, before Chinuch. Right. That's exactly what he's saying, is that Bidieved. Which means l'chadchila no. When it comes to a cheresh, because again cheresh of the bekatan, we don't say that they're all necessarily the same. So cheresh could be l'chadchila no, but b'di'eved yes. When it comes to a shoter or katan, even b'di'eved no.
Before chinuch.
But once the child reaches chinuch, then even l'chadchila it's okay. Because Rabbi Yehuda is Machshir B'Katan. Basically, what he's doing is saying that the words of the Mishnah are not two people, it's one person. There's just a bunch of words that are missing in the critical text. And therefore, this is the way it was supposed to be read. So therefore, it's possible that the Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. So what? So therefore, again, the Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that it's only L'chadchila. You're not allowed, a cheresh cannot read the Megillah. But b'di'eved it's okay. B'di'eved it's okay. So Gemara says, one second. Why are you necessarily establishing it? That it's b'di'eved, yes, l'chadchila? No, that the Mishnah in Megillah, and also our Mishnah here in Brachos, is, that's how we interpret b'Yehuda. Eloha d'tani b'Yehuda b'Rev d'Rishim ben Pazi. What did we learn? Cheresh ha-madam reveinu shomea. You have a cheresh who can speak, cannot hear. Torim l'chadchila. It says that you can take off truma l'chadchila. So, Mani, who is that opinion like? L'or b'Yehuda, l'or b'Yosi. Why is it not like b'Yehuda? Because we just said, ira b'Yehuda d'yevedin l'chadchila lo. According to the opinion of b'Yehuda, we just established that when someone cannot hear, it's only allowed b'di'eved. L'chadchila, or even Rabbi Yehuda does not allow that person to read the Megillah. Even Rabbi Yehuda does not want you to read the Shema without hearing it. It's only b'di'eved after the fact. So Rabbi Yehuda cannot be like this opinion in the Mishnah of Truma, which says that Torim l'chadchila, that the person who is deaf could read, can even take off Truma l'chadchila. E Rabbi Yossi, certainly it's not Rabbi Yossi, because he holds the Ebenamilo, that even b'di'eved not. Ella, my, what must you say? Rabbi Yehuda, v'yafil l'chadchila, nami. It must be that the Mishnah in Truma is like Rabbi Yehuda. And we're not really reading the words Rabbi Yehuda correctly. When our Mishnah said that a person can say the Shema even if you're not hearing it in your Yotzei, it means even l'chadchila. And when Rabbi Yehuda said that you who are a cheresh can read the Megillah, that's even l'chadchila. Eloha desanya. I'm just going to see a few more lines. Lo yivarech adam birchas amazon b'limo. Says you should not bench in your heart.
Which we just said out loud.
Right. Be'im birach yotzah. But b'di'eved, you're okay.
Even though it's the raisa.
Right, so that's an issue. So who is this like? Lo Rabbi Yehuda v'Rav Yossi. Why not? E Rabbi Yehuda. If it's like Rabbi Yehuda, we just said Afilu chatchila nami. Rabbi Yehuda said,
you would have been okay.
Given the chatchila. And there it says you shouldn't
Rabbi
do it.
It's not like Rabbi Yossi, because he says definitely not any.
Right.
The evidence.
Exactly. Me, Rabbi Yossi, homer, afilu, the evidence. Well, olam, Rabbi Yehuda. Rather, we must say it's like Rabbi Yehuda. The afilu chatchila nami. As we said, even the chatchila, Rabbi Yehuda is lenient. You don't have to hear it. You're always yotze. Aye, but what do we? How do we explain this statement with regard to benching? That b'di'eved only we allow you to, that you're yotze if you didn't hear your benching. Lokasha hadidei hadirabi. One is him and one is his rebbe. According to him, he says b'di'eved, yes, l'chatchila, no. We're going to see his rebbe is lenient, even l'chatchila, even if you don't hear it, you're still yotze. Desanya, as we learned last week, as we'll see again here, Rabbi Yehuda said, in the name of his rebbe, who was Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, hakore shma sarech shi yashmil ozno. It's necessary l'chatchila to hear what you're saying, which means b'di'eved, if you didn't hear it, you're okay. Shnemar Shema Yisrael. Amrul Rameir. Rameir says, no, it doesn't make a difference. Even the Chatchila, you don't have to hear a word. Amrul Rameir, Hari Omer, the Pasuk says, Asher Nochi Mitzavacha Hayom Alavavacha. It's just something which is in your heart. Acher Kavanas Alev Heina Devarim. We only care about what's in your heart. So where it says, Hashdos Zahachi, I feel a tame Rabbi Yehuda Karabi. It's possible Rabbi Yehuda holds like his Rabbi, Sirile, Lokasha Ha, Rabbi Yehuda Ha, Rameir, which we'll stop at that point. But again, basically what's happening is we're saying Rameir is of the opinion he's extremely
lenient.
He's
the most lenient.
Right. So even b'di'eved, oh, I mean,
sure,
even
l'chatchila, as long as you're fine.
Right. According to the opposite extreme, the opinion of Rabbi Yossi,
you're not fine.
Even b'di'eved.
Right.
According to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda,
b'di'eved,
you're okay, l'chatchila. Therefore, all these different opinions that we brought down would fit in according to those various opinions. All right, we'll stop.